الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، والفجر وليال عشر. صدق الله المولانا العظيم. Allah تبارك وتعالى in his great mercy and kindness has given us these auspicious and great days of the first 10 days of Zulhijjah. And in fact, it is not only the first 10 days, but the life Allah has given us. Our whole life is just a great favor of Allah tabaraka ta'ala. None of us ever made an application that I would like to come in dunya. And the dunya, to come in dunya was not at all to get the enjoyments of dunya, etc., to live it up. We've got a totally misconception, and that misconception can be understood, unfortunately, because the environment that we are caught up in. We are living in such an environment where the enemies of Islam have made such an effort that dunya has become the object, and the fun and enjoyment of dunya has become the object. And if little bit we study our history, we have a glimpse of our history, we will see where the men of Allah Ta'ala were, the righteous and the pious, they had understood the purpose of coming in this dunya, and that was preparation for akhirat, to gain the ma'rifat of Allah, to recognize Allah, which is such a great thing, such an enjoyable thing. There is nothing that can surpass that. To know who Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam was, the noble character of Nabiya Akram sallallahu alayhi wasallam. All this is why we are in this world. And when a person, we study with little sincerity and with little looking inside in depth that what Jannat is and what the enjoyments of Jannat are. And that is why we are here, to acquire those ni'mats of Jannat. It is not there that when we go, then we'll make an effort. Allah has put us here now to acquire Jannat. And if we acquire little bit knowledge, little insight of what a terrible place Jahannam is, and how we can't imagine. And to save ourselves, this is the time now to save. It's not now that we get involved in the gunas that will take us to Jahannam, and then we expect we will be saved from Jahannam. Yeah, Allah has put us. Yeah, unfortunately, the environment of the world is such that just to commit gunas, to fulfill one's lust and one's desires, in fact, this is a complete sort of a religion of its own. Not a religion in the sense that it is from Allah Ta'ala, but that people, what they have made their object of life, just to satisfy their lust, their ego, their desires, that is what has become the object. And they're living for this. Just to that, no matter what happens, you can destroy anyone in your path, not fulfill the rights of anyone, do as you want to, but as long as you just fulfilling your desires. So we are caught up in this. And the greatest thing in this time, yeah, all the time, and we don't know what is going to come or still in the front, is the mobile phone, the cell phone that is destroying people left, right and center. So all these, so Allah has given us this opportunity in this world in order to recognize Allah, to recognize ourselves that I'm an insignificant, nothing whatsoever in this world. Yeah, today also, one other type of religion is that my own ego, that I'm somebody, that everyone must respect me, everyone must honor me, that is also something. Whereas, yeah, it is total annihilation. That you even forget that you exist. Not that I'm a nothing, but you even forget yourself that I'm nothing whatsoever. That is why Allah Ta'ala has put us. So in these days of our lives, Allah has given us certain days which are even much more valuable. And we are passing through those days, these 10 days of Zulhijjah, which are so valuable. And for students of deen at this time, you people are preparing for your imtihan. When any person walks in and he sees the students all so engrossed in their studies at night, all the different groups, this is also something very great to be engrossed and to acquire this knowledge. But together with that, let us also not only make this knowledge our object, but we must go forward and the real reality of life and why Allah Ta'ala has put us here, we must not forget that also. As a student understands, there are those students who are responsible and they understand their value and they are studying properly, whole day, at night, whatever time they get, they are studying. And a student will understand and accept also that if we can study the whole year like this, not only exam time, those are the students that made what a mark in history, what a mark by Allah Ta'ala, and how successful they have become, who have been studying all along. So this is an impetus, an encouragement at this time of studying for the imtihan, but very fortunate will be those students who can keep this momentum going all the time. And there were students in the, and mashallah, ulama are making effort to bring to our students' attention that how our ulama had sacrificed for knowledge, how they had sacrificed for deen, how they had sacrificed for deen to come into other people. All these things Allah Ta'ala has given us this opportunity. And really if we go and see whether it is just one field of our Islamic sciences, whether it is tafsir, Quran Sharif. And Quran Sharif, there are so many things. One is tafsir. And tafsir, a person can never ever exhaust it. What details there are in tafsir. Then if you come to the science, the fun of qiraat, and then to pronounce the huruf correctly, that is a job of its own. Hazrat Maulana Shah Ashraf Ali Thani Rahmatullah Ali, whenever he used to go to Haramain Sharifain, he said that he should particularly go and learn to read Quran Sharif correctly from the Arabs. Their natural language is Arabic. And the huruf, some of them, are not easy to pronounce. The Zod, Arabic has been known as the language of the Zod. And there to pronounce this. And also the amount of ikhtilaf in the ummah of the correct pronunciation of the letter of God. So to get this also, this is a whole subject of its own. So the, in Quran Sharif alone, there are so many subjects that a person, if he wants to master, he can devote his whole life and he won't finish it up. And when we see that the ulama, how much they have researched, for example in tafsir, one tafsir, 100 volumes written. Or Surah Fatiha alone, 30 volumes on Surah Fatiha. And if we think again, at that time this was done, when there were no computers, that was completely out of the question. When there were no ballpoints, there were no fountain pens. They used to write with the reed, with reeds, they should make a pen. And the ink, they should have that, they should mix water and they should make the ink. That also they all did themselves. One great alim, so many reeds, pens he had used, and to make it when he chipped it, that was so much that he made wasiyat, when I die, use the chips to warm the water for my ghusl. So how many chips there must be? And those chips just burn very fast, very quickly. So how many chips? So what do in his life? And then when they wrote 100 volumes, today for us, we sometimes pity our students also when they're carrying their kitabs in their boxes. It's heavy and they are carrying it, they are going with it. But those people, 100 volumes, how much must that have been? And how they must have toiled in order to write all this. So this is the time Allah has given us in this dunya to make good of this time. Allah give me first and foremost. This is a muzakara, and muzakara is for oneself first and foremost. That whatever we can, and from our little bit experience that we have gained for our students who are still young and have got their whole life still in front of them, if we were to use our time correctly, there are many other aspects also which are discussed from time to time, but time, if we use it correctly, how greatly we will benefit. And if we waste time, and one of the major sources of wasting time today has become the cell phone. That even if it is impermissible things, but how much our time is being wasted in it. And perhaps nobody is spared of the harms of this cell phone. Like that we know, the military training is very, very rigid and very strong. But we happen to see with our own eyes that the military personnel, they are also busy with their cell phone. If the military is busy with the cell phone, what will happen to the country? They are the ones who are supposed to be alert all the time. And we know that the cell phone, you have noticed it, we all notice it. The minute a person is on his phone, he's totally oblivious of everything around him. He doesn't know who's coming, who's going, who's talking. He's so engrossed in it. If we can get one moment in our namaz like that, that engrossment that we have on our cell phone, if we can get 1 minute in our, a few seconds in our namaz, that engrossment. That those who made effort. Like one youngster told the father or elderly person in the family, that the daddy or grandfather, how did you people manage without cell phones? It's impossible. How could you live without cell phones if we just can't understand it? He turned around and he said, we just can't understand how you can be living without namaz. How you can be living without tilawat of Quran Sharif. We just can't understand. For everything is in namaz, is in Quran Sharif, is in deen. And you people are just oblivious of deen. One person asked Hazrat Maulana Shah Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali, that is it possible that you can make namaz and you don't get a thought of dunya? That you just make your namaz with full concentration. Hakimul Ummat was Hakimul Ummat rahimahullah ta'ala. He said that, tell me, is it possible for you to do business the whole day, not only namaz, and you don't get one thought of Allah ta'ala? He said that happens all the time. The whole day we are engrossed in our dunya, in our business, and we don't think about Allah ta'ala at all. So, to make namaz, which are, how long does it take to make 2 rakats of namaz, 4 rakats of namaz? So, in that little time, just to be thinking of namaz, why is it impossible? When you prove to yourself that with the brain Allah has given you, you can concentrate in your dunya whole time. Any person who is involved in any task of this dunya, so much so that whether it's you're working somewhere, you are a good worker, loyal worker, you just concentrate on your work all the time. You have to do that. You won't think of your namaz. You won't think of Allah. A good Muslim is a different person, but ordinarily. So why is it not possible for a Muslim to think of his namaz so much, or to think of Allah Ta'ala so much in his namaz? So anyway, time generally is a very, very valuable commodity, a commodity that is not replaceable. 1 second that goes cannot be replaced again. 1 day that goes, the malaika, every day when the sun rises, they make announcement and they say, oh Bani Adam, you have got this 1 day in your life which will never come back to you. You can make it either for your salvation forever in the akhirat, or you can make it for your destruction, total destruction. But this 1 day will never come back. 1 minute will never come back. So Allah give us tawfiq and to understand the value of time. These days that are passing now are extremely valuable. So much so that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that there are no days in the year in which Allah loves to be worshipped as He loves to be worshipped during these days. And the worship year, from the hadith it appears where the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum then asked, O Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not even jihad in the path of Allah? And jihad is also ibadat. Jihad is also an ibadat. Acquiring of knowledge is also an ibadat. But they asked, not even jihad. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, not even jihad. From here we understand that ibadat is meant as we commonly understand what ibadat is. By the broader explanation and term of ibadat, many things come into ibadat. But as we understand ibadat, to worship Allah. And which has been made clear again in another hadith, where Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that the third kalima, to read the third kalima, the fourth kalima, this was what the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam did. And this is that ibadah to make zikr, tasbih of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So these things are very, very valuable during these days. So the acquisition of knowledge, which is also an ibadah, but knowledge is that. Again, look at our akabir, what great ulama Allah has blessed us with, what reality of deen, that during these days, usually they give holidays. Yeah, in the madrasa also we give holidays. Why did they give these holidays? They built a whole Darul Uloom, for example, and with great effort and with money they built it, but during these days they locked their doors. Because now the ibadat of this time is something else, a great ibadat. That is the sad days now. That is so. So how they put things in their proper perspective. And Allah give us tawfiq that we observe these days as that. And these holidays which are given are not to go and destroy whatever little we had acquired. Now we go out with friends, somebody is booking up somewhere at some resort or something, and we lose out everything what we have acquired, then we are making these holidays holy days, with H-O-L-E, holes in them. That whatever we had acquired now goes down the holes. But the holidays, we should make them holy days, H-O-L-Y. Make them holy days, that what we have acquired, now put it into Amal. And during these times, and in our little, when we were small, we saw people, which we don't see now, nowhere have I seen it afterwards. Allah, I'm also not making Amal, but the old people should actually go and wash the Qurbani animals. Every day, there was an old lady, which we all call Nanima. And she was an elderly lady, but she should go with her bucket of water and wash the animals to show love to the animals. Because these are the qurbani is a shi'ar of Islam. وَمَن يُعَظِّمْ شَعَائِرَ اللَّهِ The shi'ar of Allah, those who will respect and honor it, Allah says, فَإِنَّهَا مِن تَقْوَى الْقُلُوبِ It is of the taqwa of the heart. To show kindness to the animals, to show feeling for the animals. And how much we show that, now when that animal will be slaughtered, then we will feel, at least the thought should come, when we are slaughtering, I'm slaughtering my own son. And if we can do more than that, I'm slaughtering myself. I'm giving myself for Allah Ta'ala. And at least I'm slaughtering my nafs. That is, by nafs is meant, those desires which are haram. I'm slaughtering them. No more now all these haram desires of mine. So Allah grant us this reality of these days of Qurbani and the days of Hajj also. And if it helps you, it helps me a lot, perhaps it will help you also. If just now and then we can read the Labbaik to ourselves. The minute you will read Labbaik, just to yourself, your thoughts will go to Makkah Sharif. To all the people who are making Hajj, who are reading Labbaik, Allahumma Labbaik. It will go to the Hajj terminal, where all plane loads of people are landing from different parts of the world. Somebody are white in color, somebody black in color, somebody brown in color, somebody yellow in color. And everyone, one thing on their tongue, Labbaik, Allahumma Labbaik. So this will take our thoughts immediately there. And then at least we will get the thoughts of the Hajjis, we will get, and that is a great ibadat. Just to think of Makkah Sharif, just to think of Madinatul Munawwara is a great, great ibadat also. And to get the greatness of these days, just that our thoughts can go there. We are in the days, but our thoughts are not there. If we read the takbir that we are supposed to read, Allahu on the days of the takbir at Tashriq, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illa Allahu, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, walillahi alhamd. It will bring this days, the value of this days in us. And we will be able to become present in this days. Then follow it up by reading the third kalima, by reading the fourth kalima. These are all the things of great, great. The third kalima, Subhanallah, that, oh Allah, you are pure. It comes in the explanation of this, the ulama give, that Allah is pure. If nobody says Allah is pure, Allah is still pure. Na'uz billah, there can't be any person who can be saying Subhanallah with this in mind that I'm purifying Allah. Na'uz billah. Allah is as pure as He is, and nobody can understand the purity of Allah Ta'ala. But by us saying Allah is pure, Subhanallah, it is narrated in the hadith that jaza'un wifaqa, a like recompense. Allah said, you say that I am pure, I am pure, whether you say it or not. But by the barakat of that, I will purify you. This is one great, great way of our tazkiyah and our purification. And the real purification, well, not the outward, that is also there, but the inner spiritual diseases. And any person, may Allah bless us to get purified of all spiritual diseases. Like shirk, a person who is involved in shirk, he's at the lowest, there can't be a lower level. A person who worships an idol, and the idol that you carve out with your own hand, If you make it sit, it can only sit. If you make it lie down, it can only lie down. You put food in front of it, it can't eat that food. A fly comes and eat, a mouse comes and eat, it can't chase it. And you worship that, that this will satisfy all my needs. Where has man gone? So by getting purified, and shirk goes out of a person, and tawheed, that Allah, who is the pure, and Allah is the only power that can do and does everything. Nobody, so much so that we negate ourselves. And how beautifully somebody has explained, and it's a rule also, that when we read La ilaha, normally we just read it like this. But there is a madde, La ilaha illallah. So when you pull it a bit, and we should pull it, La, then we negate everything. And everything, that there is nothing whatsoever that can do anything. Allah alone is the doer of everything. And also, La ilaha illa anta subhanaka. When we read that also, just give the dues of the madde, of the la. And then see the difference in the reality of its meaning also. It makes a great, great difference to a person. Then he negates all these things. So this is subhanallah. Then Alhamdulillah, all praise is due to Allah. All praise is due only to Allah Ta'ala. If anyone is praised also, actually it is the praises of Allah and nobody else. And when a person says Alhamdulillah, Allah says, you have praised me. The praise is for no one else besides Allah Ta'ala. And also, one, I mentioned it on the way, what I found to be very beneficial, and in order to make amal, that when something is brought to our attention, make amal on it immediately. Like now we hear about Subhanallah, say Subhanallah. Then inshallah we'll get tawfiq to carry on. But if we just summun, sami'na wa ta'ana, we just heard, or just sami'na, we heard, we don't make amal. No, immediately say Alhamdulillah also. We hear the fazail of durood, read the durood, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We read anything else, whatever fazilat that we hear of something, make amal on it immediately. We will get tawfiq to carry on. Otherwise, we find what our common nature is. We hear bayans, etc. And after that, it's finished. No, there's nothing we don't do, carry on. We forget the whole bayan also. And if somebody has to ask us, what was the bayan about? We have to think again. We it's not there in our mind. If our sabaks are such that we went for classes, whole sabak is over, and we just forgot it. Now it's finished. For life we forgot it. What benefit will we get? And bayans are not entertainment. Bayans are not to pass time. It's also like a sabak, a lesson for everyone. And when he says, Allahu Akbar, Allah is the greatest. Allah will give you qualities of greatest for these things. So that deen's work can be taken from you. And people will respect you for the sake of deen. And then deen will flourish in the world. So anyway, these days are extremely valuable. And the hajj is a great, great ibadat. And we should be connected with hajj. Our feelings and our thoughts must be there. Then comes the great amal of qurbani. Of actually sacrificing oneself. For the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. Qurbani also, we should all, even as students, we think of the masala and find out the masala. There are many students who have got savings, and if your savings are sufficient for Qurbani to become wajib, find out the masala properly. There are many juziyas also, which are not in front of us, but find out, Alhamdulillah, there's a Darul Iftah, so easy. And our ulama, our muftis are present, that is Qurbani wajib on me or not. For example, a person, end of the month, he gets his salary. He gets 15,000 rand salary. And Qurbani is also end of the month. He's got 15,000 rand in his hand. But he has got to pay his rental. He has to buy groceries. He has to see to many other things. Ask the masala, is Qurbani wajib on me or not? And the person who got the jazbah of asking will benefit a lot. Don't just depend on our own knowledge. Because the fine print, the small masala, the juziya, are very, very important. And this, those people know, those muftis who are all the time in touch with all this. A person who became a mufti and then never gave one fatwa in his life. After 30 years now, he'll be lost if he has to give a fatwa. So this needs continuous, a person be engrossed in it. So as students, let us try and follow up on these things. So Qurbani, and in any case, even if Qurbani is not wajib on a person and he has the means, because of the virtues, it is still encouraged a person makes Qurbani. It's not wajib, not compulsory, but you have the means, you make. And the other important thing is to be personally involved in Qurbani. That also is very, very important. Students who will be here, students who will be going in Jamaat and who are making their own Qurbani, don't just have it done by somebody. Don't just send it away somewhere to be done. But let us get personally involved. Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam, immediately after Eid al-Adha Salah, himself used to slaughter immediately. So we should try and get involved in the Qurbani. And every aspect of our deen, ibadat of our deen, has got an effect on our lives. Namaz has got a separate nur and separate effect on our lives. Tilawat of Quran Sharif has got a separate effect again. Dua has got another separate effect again. Everything, Hajj has got a separate effect. Umrah has got a separate effect. And going in Jamaat has got a separate effect. Going in the Khanqah has got a separate effect. So everything, all this must be there. A doctor will say you have to have a good diet where you get all your nutrition. All the vitamins must be there. Sometimes we make a mistake. We hear that, for example, sugarcane juice is very healthy. Now we take it in so great proportion and we leave out something else, and then that makes us sick. To take sugarcane juice, take grape juice, pomegranate juice, whatever else it might be, but everything in the correct way. And try and have a complete good diet. And in any case, our body, whatever we eat, there are many people of many countries who only have their staple food. They can't afford fruit. They can't afford any other luxury. But the body makes those things for them in that. But our deen, every aspect of deen is necessary. So now the time of Qurbani, let us try and get involved in it. The Qurbani, the Eid of this Eid of Qurbani is not an Eid that we are sitting with sparkling, radiant clothes on. But this Eid is really that a person is involved. The stains of blood are on his clothes. He's involved in the Qurbani. He's slaughtering, he's skinning, he's doing everything of Qurbani. Let us get involved in the Qurbani. Then the true spirit of Qurbani will come into a person. One friend of us, who just went in Jamaat and returned, a paddle Jamaat, and he was out far away. He said for 30 days we didn't see a masjid also. Where they were just in the villages, sleeping anywhere, wherever, pitching a little tent, and cold at night where they were. But that is Qurbani. With that, he says, a person gets weight, humility comes in a person. A person gets cut down to size, mujahada is made. And mujahada is extremely important for a person. Many of us, all of us, myself included, we are very frightened for mujahada, to make some effort. Students here, you are making a great mujahada. But if you do it happily, then it is great benefit. And if you are angry of the mujahada, sometimes you don't get hot water, sometimes you don't get water at all. One Jamaat also went paddle Jamaat. Allah's doing, Allah knows, whichever village they went into, no masjid. Everywhere the village, on that day, no water. Then they, and the whole Jamaat, and no water there is in that village at all on that day. For about 15 days, no water, and they didn't see a masjid anywhere. So all this mujahada which you people are doing, but do it happily. طِيبُوا بِهَا نَفْسًا. Do it happily and then see what great returns Allah Ta'ala will give. So this Qurbani also, and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam encouraged us that to do it with an open heart. Spend freely. Today many of us, we say that one animal, 2,500 rand, too expensive. Two people in the house have to make Qurbani, 5,000 rand, too expensive. But your cell phone, how much does it cost? And just let a cell phone get missing and immediately it's replaced again. Now where the money came? And your cell phone will never give you that what your Qurbani is going to give you. So yeah, make your Qurbani with an open heart. How many other things we spend on so much which are harmful things to us we spend? People who go to conferences, seminars, etc. For one ticket, how much don't they spend? So to spend for Qurbani, why should it be? And then again, actually, 1/3 we should be given, 2/3 we should give away. But it's permissible. You can keep the whole, and most of the people keep it. So you're going to use the meat. You are not just giving it away. So why do we still find it hard? We should open our hearts and make our qurbani. May Allah grant us the reality of deen in every facet and appreciate our time.